You're watching Ambience TV.
So we have quite a very important conversation, particularly for the body of Christ, at such a time as this. Not just for our local assembly, but for the entire body. Amen. So I'm fully persuaded that God is doing something and is very intentional about what he's doing. Amen. Dealing with church hurt and trauma. So we had some introduction, and I told you that the church describes the redeemed in Christ. Is that okay? Anyone who is saved and washed in the precious blood of Jesus, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, all right, is part of the church. Is that okay now? So, our local assembly is our God-ordained spiritual family, where we now come under the same curriculum based on the specifications of our journey. We don't pick local assemblies based on proximity. We pick it based on destiny. And it is God who sets the solitary in families. Is that okay now? It is God who puts us in families. He's the one who ordains it. He's the one who designs it and leads us to the place where our destiny and life or the word needed to mature it is. So I showed you on Sunday that the church is not a perfect place. Amen. Turn your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Ephesians 4, if you are there, say amen. Now let me start the reading from, give me a moment, Ephesians chapter number 4. Let's start the reading from verse 10. Ephesians 4 from verse 10. Look at this. It says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the what? Come on, read it out loud. For the what? Perfecting of the saint. All right? For the perfect. Can you give me this in amplified rendition? Let's have this in amplified rendition. Quickly. Ephesians 4:12. Now, let me quickly say this. When it comes to teaching of God's word, one of the virtues you must learn is patience. No, you hang around it till it breaks open. Is that okay? So we don't rush teaching. Are you with me? Good. Look at this. And he did this to fully equip. Somebody say equip. And perfect the saints, God's people. So, how does he perfect us? By equipping us with knowledge, with trainings, with all that we need to become the kind of Christians we should be. Amen? So, it means that the saints are not equipped necessarily. They are being equipped. The saints are not perfect. They are being perfected. Everyone you see in church is a work in progress. Everyone. Amen. The same way you appreciate your own process is the same way you have to be patient with another person's process. Are you with me? Some people's process, where they are in the process, can alter other people. Where they are in their own process. And some have matured beyond that. The church is a spiritual clinic that God is helping both the pulpit and the pew. By being a pastor, I've grown. I'm telling you. There are things I didn't know when I started that I now know. I'm telling you. There are levels of maturity I didn't have, but now I have. And there are still some I don't have yet, but I will have. Some I will learn from nice people. Some I will learn from difficult people. Are you following what I'm saying? Oh, yes. One of the things I've learned to accept is to see God behind everything. I'm telling you. Just see God. You will not be mourning process. Are you following what I'm saying here? So the church is not a place of perfect people. It is a place where God is perfecting his people. He's growing us. Say loud and clear, I'm a work in progress. This pastoring thing, it can be tiring. Sometimes I just want to walk away and not preach for like 2 months. Maybe you have been laboring and teaching. Deep. You feel I'm teaching good. Till somebody will just do something. Say, ha ha. Where should we start from now? Pray for your pastor. It's not easy. I'm telling you. Sometimes you just get tired. But it is what it is. It is church. By the time Jesus comes and we see him as he is, we'll be perfected. Amen? In him is our perfection. So while we are here, he will keep building us, teaching us, edifying us with the word. And that's why we don't forsake the gathering of ourselves together. There's something about this gathering that is uncommon. And I can tell you, look at the loads of people online who wish they are right here in Abuja. Apart, with the exception to those who are in Abuja, but who are not here. Some of them are watching me with their eyeglasses like that. Run down now. All right? So God looks at you and look at where you are going. Then he decides the kind of person that can pastor you and the kind of experience that person must have to be able to meet you at your point of need. So when the Bible says that he gave gifts to men, he gave, so what is the meaning? He gave gifts. Let me have one other person. So he gave gifts to men. He gave to some apostles and to some pastors. And he gives to some, all right, what again? Evangelists. Face your own. That's how it works. You can be blessed by many people in the body of Christ, but your local assembly is your primary place of feeding spiritually. So you don't grow haphazardly. Are you with me? Please sit down. Let me share this with you. There was a time I was running a business. A fish pond business. So somebody recommended a feed and said, this is very good. You know, people, this life. So we noticed that as we're feeding the fishes with those food, just their head was getting big. I'm telling you, just the head. I went there and I called their attention to it. That why is it just the head? Is it head people will eat? Right? So, amen. You have to feed properly. Amen. Tell your neighbor you have to feed properly. Let me show you something. Something you probably have not been paying attention to when it comes to the subject of church hurt. And I need you to give me your attention. Are you there? There is an aspect of pain and strife and offense that we have not paid attention to. And that is the fact that the moment the devil has seen that there is something God wants to bring out of a place or a relationship, his number one battle cry is to sow a seed of discord. It doesn't matter how small it is. Because I have observed that most times when we talk about the issue of pain, church hurt, trauma in church, and all those things, we tend to look at it from the physical standpoint. And sometimes we don't pay attention to the fact that it can be spiritual. Are you following what I'm saying? And I'm going to give you some realistic issues here. I think I've shared this story before. Please pay attention. And don't look at this story from a carnal standpoint. I think this happened well over between 15, 16 years ago. A young lady came to meet me. And she had a request. She said she was going through something. Please pay attention to this story. That she needed help on. So I said, okay. She explained just an aspect of it. One of the things she explained was the fact that she has never succeeded at anything before. Then she was having a pre-degree. And she came while waiting, NECO, she's reading WAEC, trying to get all those things. So I said, okay, we're going to pray. Even the pre-degree entrance exam, she didn't pass. Somebody brought her in with connection. So I said, okay. So we started praying. And I noticed after a while that I started missing her. If she didn't come to church, I'll be worried. Why is she not in church? And after a while, I started having this urge I can't resist to ask her out. I had no connection, no sense of feeling towards her. The urge was so strong, I will have to fight myself. That I will not. Ah! That thing was pushing. There was a day it was battle. I was talking with her. That thing said, "Task out now." I said, "No. If I would die, let me die here." Then she said, I was close. I was holding, you know, when you are holding with the last rope. In all honesty, do you hear what I said? Can those of you over there, you don't pray in tongues. Do you hear what I said? So why the push? Then she said to me, she said, "Do you know, sir, that you are the first man of God ever to pray for me and not ask me out on this subject matter? Say you are the first man of God." I said, "Yeah." If only the sister knew what I've been fighting. So tell me, that sense of attraction, tell me if it was not demonic. Are you following what I'm saying here? Definitely, it was a demonic pull that was going to divert our attention from the main thing.
The devil can sow any seed into a relationship as long as it does not achieve its divine purpose. Even the relationship between members and members and members and pastors. Just one small thing will become an issue that is irreconcilable. So we don't pay attention to it. There is a warfare approach. I'm saying this with every sense of intentionality. There is a warfare approach to these matters. That the moment you know that God has ordained a relationship, you will, number one, have spiritual intelligence and maturity not to accept some funny stuffs and let them. You see, sometimes as believers, we are too careless with people. We are too careless with ourselves. We treat ourselves like it doesn't matter. Even if you go away, God will bring somebody else. And it is not always so. There are vacuums. There are people that will live your life. It may take another 10 years for them to be replaced. And there are some you may never replace. I don't know if it was during PPC this morning I was sharing. And when Jonathan died, David never had another friend like Jonathan. Never. He never had another friend. Maybe if Jonathan was alive, there could have been somebody who would say, no. That girl, no. That's the granddaughter of Ahithophel. That's your advisor. Don't go for her. So we must understand that our God-ordained relationships are to be protected. Don't take everything on the surface. We must be deep. Are you following what I'm saying here? Hello. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
So I lead people I mentor people, provide leadership in different capacities based on the agreement. And I found out that my worst mistake in leading people directly is when I fail or failure to understand their background. You see, please hear what I'm saying in context. People's background can have its own gravitational pull. That it doesn't matter how they try to escape the reality, it can pull them back. So there are things you have to break first. If not, you are leading this person, not is going south. And you are wondering what's happening. There are warfare dimensions to the things we are talking about. And I cannot teach this subject if we are not honest. You will not benefit from this teaching if you are playing the victim when it comes to relationships that you have lost. So if while seated here, you are the one who is saying, that place I left them, they hurt me, and you can't remember one thing you did wrong. And the carelessness both of you had about holding each other intentionally. Many of you have lost people and relationships that you know you could have fought more if you knew better. It could have worked. But you were both immature and full of yourselves. You can't bring that same mentality to the table and expect things to be different. No. Every test you fail, you will have to pass somewhere. Are you following what I'm saying here? So why do you love Sphere of Light Church? I love Sphere of Light Church because everybody in Sphere of Light Church are so kind. What if you meet somebody who is not kind? Why are we having people who are so touchy? When people look at you one way, you shrink. Why are they looking at me like that? They are not so kind here. They are not lovely people. True?
I saw water plenty for your eyes.
You have to be tough. Life is not fair. And I don't think it is fairer in church. That's the truth. You have to be strong. What if you entered the church and the usher who welcomed you woke up from the wrong side of the bed? I say, good evening. You just came. You see the usher say, welcome to church. Say, good evening. Say, no. Say, I'm never going back to that church again. All the things God has for you, you will abort it because of one usher. Then there's something wrong with the person's spiritual intelligence. You have to know when it is the devil standing in your way to resist you. And he will do that to immature people. Even in church. And he can be a pastor. If the devil wants to fight you, there is a kind of pastor he gives you. There are pastors that are forms of judgment on people's existence. They will sleep with the people, collect their money, and still bully them. But you will not experience such. Amen. And if you have experienced such, God will bring you out. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? Stop expecting life to be fair. Stop expecting people to be kind. We have to first deal with that. Stop expecting everyone to be kind towards you. Everyone smiling towards you. Some of you, your day can be ruined because somebody frowned at you. You anchored the dividends of an entire day, 24 hours, on somebody else's emotions.
How did he talk when I greeted him? Ask your friend, say, did you hear the way he answered me? Say, I didn't hear. Say, I'm trying to recollect and process the way he answered me. What are you recollecting? Let me tell you this. One of the signs of low self-esteem is the constant need of validation. You have to be strong. Your motivational speaker that you want to validate you is not feeling fine.
You have to be strong.
See, people are carrying baggages. Are you for what I'm saying? People are carrying what? Baggages. So people carry all those baggages and they are looking for dumping sites. You must learn to deflect it. I am not your dumping site. They carry those baggages to banks. Some of you expect bankers to be nice. The banker that saw a masquerade beating her in the dream. And it's now there in the morning. You greet the person, just drop your DC, you write your BVN number. That's life. It is what it is. Your feelings is your feelings. Your baggage is your baggage. What I'm carrying is enough. I will not respond to your fire with fire. I have a lot to process. That's the way you face life. Are you following what I'm saying here? Nobody owes you kindness. Nobody owes you smiles and laughter. Everybody's dealing with their own stuff. Say, should that also be happening in church? The same people who you met in the bank and the market, they are the ones in church too. Yes, oh, they've changed clothes. That's why it looks better. They are the ones in church. So, nobody owes you any good sense of emotions. You find your own joy. Settle that first. Let's start from there. Once we get this one right, then we can begin to get the rest right. Are you there? Good. So I've laid a very good foundation. Why does he hurt in church?
Why does it also hurt in church? I've laid the foundation that the people we have in church are not angels that fell from heaven. If you look to your right and look to your left, if there are angels in this place, we can't see them. If you can see the person is not an angel. Are you following what I'm saying? So there's no too much expectation. Look around you. You have people from different background. The church is even the most risky place to expect anybody to be fine. Because do you expect to see a perfect person in the hospital? We are all patients, including pastor. Oh yes, we are all patients. We are all what? We are all what? We are all patients, being treated by God, administering different therapy, different kind of things to us. As I'm teaching, somebody is looking at me and the fellow is feeling like, I just sand this guy. You are the one who won't believe. You see your expectation. You don't believe. Somebody else is just thinking. And all the things I've been saying since, person just thinking, all this light now, may this light just turn purple. Or may this just do. So, somebody else, I'm telling you, somebody else might just be thinking, may one leopard just enter now. Mercy as we go on. If, are you following what I'm saying?
Yes,
if people's thoughts can be popping up, you will not believe. It is so serious. The only mechanism God will use for us when we get to heaven is a system called we will know as we are known. You know what that means? It means as you are thinking it, I'm seeing it. That's why there's sanity there. So don't assume. Are you with me? I'm just being real with you. Don't what? Assume. In the midst of all those things you are thinking you have heard enough, some of these things say, see that girl, we back up that time. Shy. And the fellow is saying, deep, deep. It is what it is. Oh. How God is managing all of us, we'll find out when we see him. Are you following what I'm saying? You marry one wife is problem to manage. One husband is problem. But God is managing that guy plus his mother plus his father, the siblings and all the enemies. What is it about his maturity we have not studied? Are you following what I'm saying here? So if God is calling you to be a pastor, one of the things you know is that it is an invitation to manage people, the way he's been managing them. All the ways you have complained, God, where were you when I was crying? Where were you when it hurt? Well, now you are just managing 20 people. You are not picking their phone calls. You are not doing all those things. They are now saying, pastor, you are not reachable. God is saying, where were you? Are you there?
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you. It is what it is. How God bring all of us together and is managed. See, the beauty to us is that let the one who is singing, sing. The one who play the keyboard and drum, let them play. The one who will preach, preach. The one who will do the usher. Everybody is doing their own work and they are growing. When they get back home and food is not ready or something is not happening, we'll see where the growth stopped. When we come back to church, we may not see it because in church, everybody is holy. When they get back to work and the salary is not paid on time, we'll see where the growth stopped. It's not here we'll know where your growth. Once in a while, we can find out. Somebody just say something. Say, eh? I'm going to leave Bible for you, Nana. People, things are happening. Are you there? You meet somebody in church, you want to marry the person is growth, is growing. So you must try to find out, where is this fellow in the curriculum? So you are not saying to somebody's daughter, I mean, you, Pastor Femi Lazarus, pastored you, and you are behaving like this.
Should Jesus tell you? He led 12. Jesus led 12. Jesus. Judas, they there. Thomas, they. James and John, they have charm to call fire. They there. Peter. I'm pastoring over 1,000. You are complaining about one. You know, serious. I see people do it in the body of Christ. Maybe the member, one pastor amongst in a member in a church membership of over 1 million will misbehave. They are dragging the GO. The person who is doing that, who is dragging the GO online, common class captain, they didn't give the person because he's irresponsible. But you can drag fathers. In school, did they make you class captain? No, because they saw that you didn't have sense. But fathers, you drag them. People who have stood the test of time over 50 years of integrity. Let's wake up, my friend. Talk is cheap. Are you following what I'm saying? Talk is what? Cheap. Anybody can say anything they like. Pastor 50 people for a year. Come back. Not on Facebook, on site. On site. You think pastoring is virtual? I've sat down on the floor before as a pastor. I say, ah, God, you have to teach me how to handle this one. Or just call me again some other time. Let me go on strike. I have wept doing this work. I have cried doing this work. And I've also laughed doing this work. I've rejoiced doing this work. You will have all forms of emotions in pastoring. Because you pastor all kinds of people. Are you following what I'm saying here? You express all kinds. There are people who make you feel God called you. There are people who make you doubt if God called you. What you do is your choice, though. I'm telling you. What you do is your choice. While we are all in this small room called Earth, till Jesus comes, we'll be managing ourselves. Is that okay? We'll alter ourselves. We'll forgive ourselves. You must master the heart of forgiveness and recovery before you start building a home. And the local assembly is one of God's opportunity for you to give you the opportunity to develop character. When we find ourselves like this, we join workforce, we do all kinds of things. It is God's ordained opportunity for us to build character and mature. It is God giving us opportunity. Are you following what I'm saying here? Somebody has joined the department. God is giving you the opportunity to grow. Before Sphere of Light Church started, I had the opportunity to serve. All right, in the redeemed Christian Church of God. And I learned many things. I learned discipline. You have to do digging deep, whether you like it or not. You have to do faith clinic, whether you like it or not. We have to leave the house by 5 a.m. as leaders. We have to do many things. Catch them young. Campus environment. Let's go out fishing. You pack tears on your head. But all those times was not the church using us. It was God giving us opportunity to learn for what lies ahead. And that's why, listen to what I'm saying. Even if there's a calling upon your life, your local assembly is God's divine arrangement to mature it. That is the way he matures you. That's the way he prepares you. That's the way he forges you. That's your primary place of showing forth. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's the way he shows you to your world. So we must not treat local assembly as an option. It should be seen as a family. It is not what I do because I feel like, I understand that we are with a generation that is so angry.
And I see people go online and give all sorts of advice. And I've said, I don't tell you, now mumu they go to church. What? But you see, you can hear people say things, but the day those things start backfiring, I mean, you won't be there. Nobody posts consequences. People post thoughts. When it backfires, nobody talks about it. I'm telling you. So be careful, all right? Be careful of just following people, just listen to what they say, and because of the bandwagon effect, you want to feel among. There are people who are not bitter, they are not angry, but if they are saying this, I should say my own also. Are you there? So we understand. You didn't come to this church because you felt like God himself, by what ways he knows best, positioned you here. And he's doing something that you and I don't even know anything about. Sometimes you ask, why are you giving me the opportunity to be under these kind of teachings? Well, when we get to the future, we'll understand better. And sometimes to prepare the future, we have to repair the past. And that's what he's doing. Amen. So we need wisdom for human relationships generally, whether it is in the church or not in the church. You need wisdom to know how to respond to issues, how to respond and not react. You need wisdom to know how to manage people and manage cynical people. You will not just deal with good people. You will deal with all kinds. And that's why you have to prepare yourself. The science of mastering people is an intricate part of leadership development. You have to master people. You have to master their orientation, their perspective. If you pastor in Abuja, there is a way those in Abuja think. It is not the same way they think in Lagos. I'm telling you. It is not the same way they think in Ibadan. It is not the same way they think in London. It is not the same way they think in Kano. So I have discovered as a church planter that you get to new environment and first learn the science of the people. There are times, maybe they are singing a song, I just tell the resident pastor, I said, oh, let's do something. Somebody somewhere will go and say, this is a Yoruba church. But you will not get that kind of complaint. But because of the nature of this environment, you have to understand the orientation, master it, and respond. Now, I understand that you hate people, not you now, are angry about, but pause for a moment. Please pause for a moment. Imagine if you are, don't let me use anything that anybody will hijack now. I know there are people waiting to be served buffet. No, not today. Imagine if you are privileged to be leading a vital, imagine if you are pastor here at the boy. I'm not sure there is a day in Nigeria that Baba doesn't get dragged. We blame him for everything. We should blame the leadership of the country for. Imagine the kind of development it takes to absorb that while looking at the finish line. Come on now. Don't just insult these men. What they are, the generation casting, getting them, may never enter a quarter of that stature. Imagine the capacity that has been built. Brace up and build yourself for strong work. Is that okay now? Build yourself for what? Strong work. Allow yourself to be built and developed. Are you there? Another very important
matter I want to debunk, I mentioned this briefly on Sunday, is that whenever we talk about church ought, please stop assuming that it is only members that get ought. Many pastors are ought badly. We're going to get to the point where I'm going to show you when a oughting pastor is pastoring a oughting member, and then vice versa like that. What are the signs you will see? Many people quit ministry yearly because they are no longer healing. I am not here to blow our trumpet, but I can tell you from experience that one of the most difficult jobs on earth is pastoring. It is. I remember a lady called me around 2:30 a.m. So I picked the phone. So I said, please, is this an emergency? Say, yes, pastor, it's an emergency. It's an emergency. It's a matter of life and death. Said, yes. I said, okay, I'm listening. Said, so I had a dream just now. Sister, are you aware I'm somebody's husband? Are you married? Said, no. If they wake your husband up for a dream. I say, stop it now, stop it. But I still have to attend. You see. Because that fellow can say, oh, this pastor, you see now. I will not want to do anything that will be a stumbling block for anyone. Because you don't know their level of maturity. If there's any pastor who is under the sound of my voice, who is grieving, who is bleeding, please heal. If you have to take a break, please take a break. Is that okay now? And let me say this to all of you, whether I'm saying it proverbially or in reality, but listen. Get used to your pastors going on break. I know you enjoy the word. I know you enjoy what you are hearing. Is that okay now? If one of my girls in the children's church came to meet me and said, Apostle, you are not going anywhere. Say, I'm being blessed by your messages. I say, you can't travel. I've heard you. But we have to get used to it. Because if you keep walking without taking a break, you will burn out. And when you burn out, you stop healing. In fact, one of the first signs that you are burning out, is that you start experiencing lust. Because the fervency is not there. Are you following what I'm saying? This is not a talk for today. All right? So, let me quickly give you a few reasons why people also get out in church. Now, I wrote here that the church system is one that requires wisdom to run. Wisdom is needed for member-to-member relationships and for member-to-leader relationships. All right? So I want to list some of the common causes of ought in church environment. Number one is past trauma. Please write it down. Past trauma. This can be either from the side of the clergy or from the side of the members. It is possible that as a pastor, there is a member that reminds you of a member that has hurt you and left you. Is that okay now? It is also possible as a member that maybe the pastor even reminds you of your dad. There's a way the man will talk, you say, why is he behaving like my dad? Who does he think he is? All these pastor things, I'm not even doing Nigerian pastors. And it's not about the issue, but what it reminds you of. So it is possible as a pastor that you are traumatized. It is possible. It is possible to be experiencing trauma as a member. You are finding it difficult to trust. That's one of the signs of trauma. You are finding it difficult to trust the pastor. You are looking at him. And you see, when you are traumatized, one of the things you see is that you keep anticipating pain and disappointment. You are expecting, you know, well, this fellow is sounding well, but they all disappoint at some point.
So you notice that you keep waiting for when this one too will disappoint. And because you are waiting for the person to disappoint, you are not accepting love. You are not allowing yourself to be loved. You want to hide. You don't want to be seen. You don't want to be known. You have so much qualities to offer, but you don't want anyone to see it because you know they all disappoint. That's trauma. I shared my story with you. And it's quite risky putting myself out there, but I have to. I couldn't attend weddings. Weddings, Lazarus. When people say they are getting married, I look at them as fools. You mean with all your intelligence, what you want to do with your life is to waste it as I do. I was made best man for my cousin. When it was time to join them together, I left. I couldn't stand. My legs were wobbling and shaking. Till my friend who had watched me closely called me on phone and was screaming. I said, why can't you love? You're a good person. I know you. Started mentioning the names of all my exes and mentioned who they remind me of. I said, but they are not that person. That was the day the veil left. You can sit in a church and all the feelings you are having back is the feeling of your former experience. And when that happens, you can't give your best. Because you know and you are expecting the same issue to resurface here. So you get into what is called self-preservation. Let me not give too much so I don't regret it. Let me not talk too much about my church online. So by the time Yawa gas now, nobody will know anything. So nobody will know where I was, and if he feels, nobody knows. So you notice that you are holding back. And because you are holding back, you are right at the spot that the devil can pollute your mind. It can mess you up. That's trauma. That's trauma. And sometimes it is from the family background. The way we were raised to perceive leadership. Maybe the first experience you had about leadership is one who was a tyrant. They shut you down. They talk you down. Do you know the implication of that? You grew up around someone who was always talking you down, talk you out of your esteem, talk you out of everything. The moment you learn to come out, you may come out defective. Because you come out fighting anything that looks like oppression. And even when it is not. Once you smell it, you fight it. You are killing an ant with a sledgehammer. You start overreacting. Nobody can tell me anything in church. Nobody can tell me to do anything. I do what I like. Nobody says you should not do what you like. No, nobody does what they like and succeed in life. Man must be under some rule to do well. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you learning something? And this is what is happening. Someone say, please, let's stand on our feet and lift up holy hands and say, why should I stand up? It's time to give our offering. Why must you tell me that it's time to give? Don't I know when it's time to give? You are not responding to the situation. You are responding to what it reminds you of. You are responding to the pain on the inside. And we can bring all these baggages, and the place where we put everything is the church. It's the church. And I tell people that whatever it is you feel about your church negatively, if there are also traces of that same experience around other forms of relationship, and it's not the church but you. It's not the church but you. Trauma puts you in a position where the innocent actions of the other person reminds you of what they know nothing about. So you may not even be hearing what the person is saying. You are hearing what has happened in the past.
You know, some people can say, what's that your pastor's name again? Say, Apostle Femi Lazarus. Say, Femi. Say, yes. Femi. Say, yes, sir. Femi. Say, yes, sir. Say, nobody called Femi can pastor me in this life. Yeah. Why? Say, Femis are not good people. They are not good people. Say, you know, that my ex. 2017. His name is Femi. What's my business with that? And you see, we can, something as trivial as that, we bring it to church. And say, what he says is an apostle. Apostle. Why he not be pastor? Who give him apostle? Uh-huh. All these new apostles, me, I know they do. I'm just finish that, he might come out. That's trauma. Which apostle do you have issues with? I'm not the one. No, it's not me. And I should not suffer for what I didn't do. But sometimes, the fellow that the devil is really cheating is you. Because you are the one that the devil is taking it from your inheritance because of your misconception. So it's not the pastor that is at the receiving end. We have to be spiritually intelligent. Are you with me? Are you sure? So I said those, the traumatic experience of people can be as a result of family background. Number two, can also be as a result of stories they've heard from other people. Somebody's experience online about what happened to them in church. You read their experience and then you become afraid. You start withdrawing from church. I don't want to have that kind of experience. I don't want to be in any church workforce. So I will not have that kind of experience. And you've not had the experience. And it's not about you. And people who present stories not telling you the full part of it. You don't even know how that happened. You see, you must be careful of what you see and read. Let me give you an illustration. For instance, if you have been walking and you are fine, everything is fine, you are doing well, pay attention to this. And all of a sudden I see and I'm saying, ah, man of God, how are you doing? I'm saying, fine. I say, ah, you look stressed though. You look stressed. Be careful, eh? The way you manage your health, you look really stressed. You might not be feeling stressed when I'm saying that, but from the moment I start saying it, you start becoming stressed. So it means that what you hear can form a unique reality. There are good stories, but they don't go viral. Only bad news trend. You know, I saw I saw some blogs be carrying Apostle Lazarus said this. Apostle Lazarus said, people are not trending this one. You know, pain on her. But if Apostle Lazarus says, boom, hey, that guy Lazarus, it has to be bad for you to be interested in it. You are the system. You are the system. We are the system. That's why the breaking news that catch your attention can be breaking news, pam. So and so people are set to marry. Now my business. Breaking news, pam. 600 people drowned in the boat. Hey, all these are country self. You will now sit down and read it. You are the system. You are the system. You see, listen to what I'm saying. If you are going to finish well, you have to be careful, all right, to carefully select what you see and read. There are, I've noticed this. There are pastors' meetings I don't attend. There are pastors I don't converse with. Because if you converse with them, you start suspecting all your members. They will give you 1,001 reasons why when you are pastoring people, you have to use your head. Because now, so God bless them, they leave you. If God bless them, am I entitled? Is it? God has blessed them. God has blessed me too. Entitlement kills. If God bless somebody with
Somebody comes to apostle, please pray for me. God bless me with 10 billion naira.
You think I'll pray for you and I'm now watching you and say, where's your tithe? It's me. You don't know your pastor.
Because that's how people get frustrated. Say, I pray for you. God bless you. I'll be no bless you. Bless you. Where my own? Wherever we learn that version of Christianity from, it is the reason why you will not prosper. God will not be to you what you expect men to be. He will not.
Are you following what I'm saying here? He will not be to you.
See, not maybe your pastor. Sir, you are a pastor, sir. I celebrate birthday and I know buy me cake. All the labor, why the labor for night? All of now for this church. There is that hearing courses.
We have not so learned Christ. We have not learned Christ that way. And in case you have learned under someone who thinks like that, you have to go and unlearn. From the day you set your heart towards God to be the one who blesses you, that's the day you stop being stranded. If you think church growth should directly translate to your economic shift, you are a thief, not a pastor. Yeah.
You must desire growth for the right reasons, for kingdom expansion. Not because as you grow, then more people will come to church to sow seed to your life. And every time you are looking at people's hands, you'll be frustrated, though. Amen? What makes the Dead Sea? The Dead Sea is not because water doesn't outrightly flow. It only receives, it doesn't give. Tell yourself, I will not be a dumping site. Now, you are not saying it well enough. Tell yourself loud enough, I will not be a dumping site. I am a giver. I give. Amen. God wants to bless you enough to be a giver. I didn't hear amen to that. So you trauma could be as a result of stories you've heard from people, and then you can import their fears. You import people's fears. You import people's fears. I think the devil moves a lot through stories on social media. Oh, yes. There are podcasts that you must block. Block. There are blogs that you must block. Are you following what I'm saying here? So that your mind is not affected negatively. You have to choose. See, create your own environment. Choose what you see. There are people who can't even get up to ease themselves by 2 a.m. in their own room. I see two eyes there. Blood of Jesus. The person will drink and say, take it now. Take fire, fire, fire. And there's nothing. It's just one Nollywood movie that is playing game on the person's head. Nothing. Even demons are saying, ah, now you say, I don't go there. Say, ah, you too, you go there. I don't go there. What's he going to see, at all? And that's what we see him. Don't import fears into your life. We cannot live a victorious Christian life if we are not intentional about our environment. Be intentional. Be intentional. Say, hey, there's this man of God who is always preaching heresy. Okay, block anything about that person. If you know here, maybe, then focus on the one who is preaching the right things. So you don't come back to church and as I'm preaching, you are watching me. Say, let me watch this apostle too. What are you watching? Don't import other people's experiences. Are you there? I mentioned the issue of family background. And I said background many times have stronghold on people. It doesn't just stop in the past. It also
goes on to reveal itself in many situations. And when you are not healed of the traumatic experience of your background, number one, you can't perceive people right. You can't perceive situations correctly. Now, what you are saying happened, is that what actually happened? You see, most times when we narrate our experience, we are actually narrating our perception, not the actuality. Are you there? If you can learn to be true to yourself, you will do well. You are narrating your perception, not the reality. If you are actually focusing on reality, you will see that you don't have too much stories. But when you are talking about perception, then you have loads of assumptions. And someone said assumption is the lowest state of man's intelligence. Where your intelligence stops, you continue with assumption. Say, for her to look at me like that, she's a witch. That's assumption. There are people who are just naturally, they look tough. Even me, I've seen people who look tough. I'm telling you, you are even afraid. This sister, they look. And when they talk, they have the sweetest spirit. You can't connect the spirit and the look. But if care is not taken, you can conclude. So we have to be spiritually intelligent. We have to be emotionally intelligent. You see, there are people that you meet, but you are meeting them in the worst season of their life. They are touchy. They are sad. They are angry. They don't respond well. Please, because you too want forgiveness from God, people deserve second chances. Let's learn to cut ourselves some slack. And I'm begging. Let's learn to give people benefit of doubt. And sometimes you will discover that you might have been concluding wrongly about good people. Are you following what I'm saying? Somebody somewhere is saying, well, people there, we have given third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance, sixth chance, seventh chance. That is who they are. I know. There are people like that. What do you do about such people? Once you see that they keep hurting you, give some distance. Love is a commandment. Distance is not specified. Love from afar, so that you are not bruised. You will not hurt yourself. You will not hurt them. Is that okay now? Very important. Are you still with me? Number two, when you are not healed, you overreact. You overreact. Number three, you find it difficult to receive love. Number four, you are always agitated and always expecting disappointment. Number five. Number four, you are always agitated and always expecting disappointment. Number five, you are always insecure and suspicious. The second cause of pain in church is expectations. Expectations. Now, I need you to write that down in capital letters. I want to show you a scripture. If you are there, say amen. Okay, you are, somebody said amen. What did you say amen to? Eh? I'm going to show you something. Turn your Bibles quickly. Let's first read Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew 16. Now we've heard this, say amen. Now let's start the reading from verse 13. Matthew 16 from verse 13. Look at it. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say that thou art Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Are you seeing the reason why you must not leave yourself at the mercy of people's definitions? I doubt if anyone can ever define you rightly. Only God who made you can. It doesn't matter how good they are in their description of you. You are more. They can only describe what they have seen now. It does not yet appear what we shall become. Some said you are this, some said you are. So then who do you say that I am? So you can compartmentalize your expectations. I'll tell you what that means. Let me show you another scripture. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 22, verse 31. Luke 22 from verse 31. Luke 22 from verse 31. If you're there, say amen. Now look at this. Jesus speaking here to Peter. Are you there? And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Yes, verse 32. "But I prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when you are converted," do what? "Strengthen." So what was he talking about? He was talking about the denial of Peter. So Jesus saw it ahead. He saw that it was a matter in the spirit realm, that the one that the devil wanted to really bring him pain was not Judas. Judas was an afterthought. It was Peter. So, now, look at it like this. Imagine you being Jesus, and you woke up from a vision, and you saw one of your 12 core guys betraying you. Don't you think that a Nigerian Jesus will first land him course? Say, "Thou should go and thou should betray me, but after thou hast done it, thou shalt die." He saw it. And at some point he told Peter, he said, "See, before the cock will crow three times," he said, you are going to deny me. Peter said, "I'll die if I deny you." He was relying on the power of cutlass and machetes. That instead of me doing this, I will cut anybody's head. And he meant it. You see, but Jesus knew him. So he wasn't expecting too much. And when the time came, the same Peter was swearing that, "I don't know this person. This one." I said, "I don't know him." Another girl said, "Brother Peter! But you're not the one that went to buy fish for Jesus." Say, "If I buy fish, my bend." Yes, I thought, maybe not be him. Then the third person, he was swearing with his full chest. Then he heard that sound and he wept. Imagine if Jesus was expecting too much. All right, reduce your expectations. Let me tell you this. When people are praising you, be looking at their lips. "Be praising me. Come, be praising me. Be praising me. Apostle, you're a good man.
You're a good man. God bless you."
Be looking at their lips and just remember, "Hosanna today, crucify him tomorrow." Remember it. So that you will not ride on a horse that has no legs. Anybody who can't make your head swell can't take your crown. I'm telling you. They can't take your crown. So you will not overexpect. You don't overexpect people. Reduce your expectations. Manage your expectations. Are you there? Where there is no expectation, you don't have disappointment. Let me show you a scripture. John chapter number 2 from verse 24. John 2 from verse 24. Now, this is a very important scripture. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. Again. He knew all. So he was careful. You must understand the science of people. The science of what? People. if you understand what I'm teaching you, you will not be frustrated. The reason why people cry and break down and is because they feel, I didn't expect to hear this from you. From who? From who? The fellow is human. And as long as the fellow is human, humans can, they can bring up surprises. They can shock you. So you reduce your expectations. So you are not frustrated. So, in managing your expectations, you have to understand these three things. Number one, church people are not perfect. Number two, church leaders are not perfect. Number three, no church structure is perfect. The people, the leadership, and the structure. Church people are not perfect. Number two, church leaders are not perfect. Number three, no church has a perfect structure. Structures get enhanced with exposure. And sometimes it takes problems to reveal the need for new structures. Are you there? Beware of expectations. Beware of entitlement mentality. Today is my birthday. My pastor didn't celebrate my birthday. My pastor didn't post me. He didn't post me. That my HOD. The other day, went to that person's birthday. The department, they did a design for that person. They posted the person. But today now, that is my birthday. They don't post me. That's how the church people are. Everywhere I go, people don't love me. People don't love me. It's just the kind of things I face. I'm used to it anyways. I've moved on. Why would I not move on? I've moved on. Am I complaining? What is the issue? Is it about the design or your expectations? So you have decided that on your birthdays, you are not happy until you see what they write. You now start checking. What did this fellow write about me? What's fellow write? Say, say she's a very lovely sister. This is a say, repose. Say, that one too. Say she's a very sister. This is so sweet. Repose. The day they swear for you, just repose it too. You can't be that cheap. I have to tell you. You see, you have to manage your expectations on the day of your joy. Because that same day can be the day of your sorrow. You have to. Oh, you are getting married. I'm getting married. All my friends have posted it. Why this one no poster? Why didn't this one post? You see that girl? She has never liked me. Eh? She has never. So I'm getting married now. She will not. You know, I'm all my friends. When I heard that I was getting married, even the other side, I didn't know I posted. A woman can sit like this and be talking like this by herself for 20 minutes. I'm mentioning all the people I post. To reduce the frustration,
Shut your WhatsApp down. Because that thing you are looking for, what would I said about you, you will find it. And the day you find it, you will cry. Why do you want to know what everybody is thinking? Why don't you want to know what God thinks about you? Amen? So beware of entitlement mentalities. I wrote something here. Be careful lest your self-esteem be wrapped in people's opinion of you. Be careful lest your self-esteem be wrapped in people's opinion of you. Thank God for the opinions of men. But you are more. I just want you to understand that. You are what?
More.
Let me give you the last one before I go. And this is a very serious matter in churches that causes pain and hurt in church. Impatience. Or what you call haste. When God brings you to a system, the first thing you have to do is to observe. Is to do what? To observe. How does this system work? What's the philosophy behind the operations here? And see, pastors should observe, members should observe. And I've noticed that people who last around you don't make haste. People who are quick to make impressions, they are fickle. They have no depth. So they want to quickly make all the impression because the next one is bitter. No, you have to be patient with people. You have to be patient. All this bitterness you see online, people are angry with themselves. Somebody joined the church, the fellow can speak good English, the guy wears good suit and all that. You just look up one day during service and say, from today you are the assistant pastor of this church. Somebody you don't know. Maybe inside the suit now, there are about 6 rotmas. You don't know what that means. Oh, you're born again. Help that person, please. You don't know. So he said, if you come and lead prayer, now say, let us now bend our necks. You are wondering, what have we entered? But you have pronounced the person. Be careful lest you crown a fool. And let me tell you this. You don't also give people positions so you can keep them. Anybody that the world cannot keep, no position will. People are kept in church because they understand that this is family. You don't manipulate people and give them titles so you can be here. Somebody has come to church, fellow is very rich. You say you are the patron of so and so and so community. Now, patron is now sleeping with people. Or somebody made a donation towards building. I'm going to give 10 million naira. Say, ah, sir, you cannot get sit at the back. Your seat now shall be here. You put the person close to the seat of the pastor. Then the fellow is eyeing the pastor's seat. And say, if I give 10 million for this one, with 50 million, I should get to that one now. Then they will break you anyhow. You start blaming the people. Are you not the one who sold yourself cheap? Because of impatience. Be careful. Est. In dealing with people, in dealing with churches, impatience. Are you there? Let me tell you this. Many of the things that have caused people problems should not have, if only they had waited a while more. So let me tell you this. Sometimes people... Abuja Church, I tell you, I say Abuja Church is baby. It's a new church. Say last year. Say, God, we need this structure and that structure. Say, I've been around this thing for a while. Structures are not ready until the men are ready. There are structures that are important, but we'll bear the bonds of the absence of that structure till we have matured people that can carry it. If you put a wrong pillar in a strong building, it will crumble. So sometimes what people are thinking, this, it is us waiting and maturing people while we are waiting in the process. Abraham armed his trained men. It is difficult to train your armed men. Once you have harmed them, to now train them is tough. But before you harm them, train them. It takes discipline. It takes diligence to train. Any pastor who is not training will have to outsource. And ministry doesn't grow around other people's children. Those who don't carry your spirit can't carry the work with you. They can't. That's why I teach and I teach and I teach. In this church, we don't outsource teachers. I teach. I'm not saying don't invite guest ministers. Paul said something in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10. Let me show you something. And this is one of the mistakes we make in the body of Christ. I will say it for posterity's sake and leave the rest. These are materials, these are things we teach ministers in mentorship platform and school of ministry platform. So I'm just going to teach you this. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 3 from verse 10, I want to show you something, something very important. Now, Paul said, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have done what? Laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take it how he what? Builds. A pastor is a builder. You see, as one who is privileged to minister on different platforms, I think one of the most bizarre things I've observed is to get to one of the most painful things you can experience is to minister in a church that the foundation has not been laid. They have no doctrinal foundation. They are not doing thorough work as touching establishing the people. You get there, you struggle. So I have the responsibility to teach. When we came to Abuja here, it was difficult to teach. You know why? The taste board of the people has not been trained. They are still looking, what was he teaching, what was not teaching? But you stay on it till it will open. You labor in prayer, in teaching, and pray again. And pray longer than you teach. You pray longer than you teach. It's labor. People join the church who bless God for the growth. But after growth comes what? Training. Predictable curriculums. That when you come, when you go through this, we expect this character to be formed so that you can now carry this. Until we see that, let's be patient. So that you don't hurt me, I don't hurt you. We don't hurt the work of God. Patience. Are you following what I'm saying here? Patience. And as we are doing that, somebody went to join a church and they went to tell the senior pastor that God has sent me here as your heir to come and assist you in the Oh God. I'm not saying God can't send you there as an heir, but there are things that the day you say it, you have spoiled it. Then the pastor said, okay, go and listen to my messages. And the pastor was even nice. Me, I will say, you, my Aaron, go and get your staff now. Go and cut stick. Let's start from there. So you'll be cutting sticks. And I tell you, this is the one I saw in the spirit realm too. You know, you can cut 200 sticks. Say, this is staff. I said, no. The one I saw that goes over my Aaron, it has something inside. Go and cut the way arrow tree again. Then let's start from there. The guy, pastor said, okay, go and hear my messages. The boy said, no. Say, I don't really do your messages. I do the message of apostles, so, because those ones have something to offer me. I'm telling you. So, that kind of person joins church, and you now say, hey, I perceive. Go and lead the choir. In a bid to grow the ministry fast, be careful to make sure you are growing it well. The future is not for those who are fast. It's for those who are doing it well. Be careful. line upon lines, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. We are patient with each other, understanding what God is doing and the timing. The timing. Have you learned something tonight? I think I've taught a bit into church administration and all that. Because there's no way we can deal with this subject and not get into church administration. I believe that there are things that God wants to do in the last days that will not be possible until the wisdom of church has been taught. Many pains are unnecessary. I tell you, it's unnecessary. We don't have to be rotting. We don't have to be crying. We don't have to meet and part in a bad way. That we have to block each other. We don't greet each other again. And this morning, unfollow. Huh? Two people that will be smiling before. I want us to ask God for wisdom. Now, this is not just about church, but every facet of relationships you have. Yes. And I see, except you are not honest with yourself, but if you are honest enough to think and say, no, I need this. I need the wisdom that preserves relationships. Yes. I don't want to be getting angry anyhow. Destroy bonds because I'm offended. Say things I should not say because I'm angry. Give me wisdom. Please pray. This is something beyond just the church. This is a body of wisdom that will affect all aspects of our lives generally. Please pray. Please pray. Please pray. Please pray. From today, I will learn the science of patience. Maybe while teaching, as humorous as some of them may sound, you can look back and say, oh, I wish I'd learned this 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 1 year ago. I wish I had this, but now you are hearing it. And many of those tests you failed, you might have to write them again. So ask God for the spirit of wisdom and understanding that your life will not be littered with losses of quality relationships. You don't have to lose people all the time. Everything doesn't have to end in tears or in pains. No. There is wisdom with which we do life. There is wisdom with which we do life. Please pray. Please pray. In Jesus' mighty name we're praying. Now hold on a minute. How many of you, maybe you've had altercations somewhere before, and now it's occurring to you that, hold on a minute, maybe these issues came up because there were expectations from me that I never communicated I was given. When people come around me, I like to have an idea for how long do you intend to stay? If I can't answer that question, I'm not expecting too much. It doesn't matter what transpired between us. I respect you. And if that day comes, you come to me and say, Apostle, I'm done with you. I respect the decision because I didn't expect too much. It puts me in a space where we don't have to fight. You don't have to have people you are block. Pastor, this block. Pastor, that block. Apostle, this block. No. Wisdom is profitable to direct. It is through wisdom that a house is built. Through understanding it is established. By knowledge, the chambers are filled with pleasant riches. Pain is not necessary. place your hand on your head, everyone. In just 1 minute again, ask for the spirit of wisdom. Father, give it to me, and I will know how to do life better. I will know how to do life better. I'm tired of losses upon losses upon losses upon losses. Please pray. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we're praying.
Today is the day of salvation. And you know what that means? It is the day for you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. God so loved you, He sent His only begotten Son to this world to die for your sins. There is no sin too big, nothing you have done that is beyond redemption. The hand of God is outstretched to you wide for you to accept Him today into your life and end all that the devil is trying to do with your life. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away, and the Bible says all things are new. May I announce to you that all things can be new today. How do you give your life to Christ? Believe that Jesus is the Son of God sent to this world to die for your sins, and He rose on the third day for your justification. And today He's extending His hands to you to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And all you have to do is to hold out your hands and say these words after me. Lord Jesus, I believe that You came into this world to die for my sins. I believe that You died for my sins. I also believe that You rose on the third day for my justification. Today, I accept You as my Lord and Savior, and I accept this gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. May I announce to you, you have made that decision, that there is so much joy in heaven right now. Angels are rejoicing, and there's so much joy. We have a contact on the screen and a barcode for you to scan if you have just made that decision, so that we will be able to reach you and help you get discipled and get you grounded in the rudiment of the gospel. I love you so much. We can't wait to see you again. Keep watching Ambience TV. God bless you.